Recruiters play such an important role at Disney, right? You're some of the first Disney employees that someone interacts with on their application journey.
It's not just about what you have done. It's all about how you have done it.
It's not just the team that you're working with, but there are so many other teams, segments that you are working across. And it's really great to understand how other teams work.
Being able to share the ideas clearly and connect your work to the bigger picture is what really sets people up for success here.
What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to the Life at Disney podcast. My name is Josiah, and if you've ever wanted to work at Disney, you certainly don't want to miss this episode. We're joined by recruitment experts from the Walt Disney Company Corporate, Disney Entertainment, and Disney Experiences to break down everything you've wanted to know about applications, resumes, interviews, and so much more. Now, you're about to meet Marjorie, Savai, and Yoshi, but we do so in the Life at Disney podcast way, the little challenge. So they're going to give us their Disney career, but in 60 seconds. We're talking the highlight reel of your Disney journey so far. So how you got started, roles you've held, and maybe a favorite project you supported along the way. And I've decided to pick Marjorie to go first.
Oh my gosh, I'm the lucky one. I actually just celebrated my 5-year Disney anniversary last week. So 5 years ago,
what?
I was interviewing for Disney.
Yeah,
thank you. It's flown by so quickly. So I actually was interviewing somewhere else and my resume got sent over to my former director here at Disney and then sent it over to my former leader. And then they called me on a Monday. I remember by that Friday, I got an offer. I interviewed with two other people on the team and couldn't even remember the rest. It flew by so quickly. I've been on the HR pod recruiting for HR roles these last 5 years, but I've also helped out with recruiting for other roles in the enterprise. But most recently, I've been recruiting for employee relations roles, labor relations roles, talent and growth. I've also dabbled in HRBP roles, but all across the enterprise, across all the different segments. So it's been super exciting. And a project that I've worked on here that really stands out to me is the employee relations pilot. It was really interesting. We got to interview a bunch of employee relations professionals and try to get them to come here to Disney. And I can't wait to share more about that because there is a candidate story that stands out from that ER pilot program that I was a part of.
Very cool. Yes, we are excited to hear so much more about that as well. Let's kick it over to Savai.
Hi, Savai here. I'm in year 4 at Disney, and honestly, it still feels a little surreal here. And I moved from Istanbul to London a few years ago. Then I saw an open recruiter role at Disney, took a leap of faith and applied, and here I am. And since then, I have recruited across multiple markets in EMEA and business areas. And I'm recruited for corporate roles in the UK. And now for the past 2 years, I have been focused on Disney Entertainment hiring in the UK. So I hire across for Disney Plus, ESPN Studios, Disney Theatrical Group, advertising sales. So everything in Disney Entertainment. And my favorite way to describe my job is I say I recruit princesses, heroes, villains, and everyone who helps bring the magic to life. So yeah, it's been a big journey for me, lots of learning and definitely lots of magic along the way.
Yeah, and you've got a couple of those villains right behind you hanging out with you today.
Yeah, I love them. My Panic and Pain.
Yeah, that's awesome. Very cool. And yeah, we're excited to hear more about, I mean, you just mentioned a lot of different things. So that's going to be cool to chat about as well. And last but not least, of course, let's go to Yoshi.
Thanks, Josiah. So my Disney journey started back in 2010 through the Disney College Program. I was a children's activities host at the Grand Floridian and Polynesian Resort. What started as a required internship for school quickly turned into something I knew I wanted to keep pursuing. So after that, I stayed connected with Disney as a campus rep at UNLV. And then that eventually brought me back to Disney in recruitment, starting with the international recruitment and growing into a recruiter role on different teams. Since then, I've had the chance to support a variety of teams across Disney Experiences, from frontline operations to more specialized areas like tech, as well as other parts of the Walt Disney Company. And today I'm part of the Disney Experiences professional recruitment team, where I get to help connect talent to the evolving need of the business. As far as my favorite project, actually first big project over 10 years ago, was I was helping Walt Disney Japan incorporate a new applicant tracking system. So I was kind of helping our own sort of sister team, if you may, internationally. So that was a really cool project.
And the things that you would never expect to say, yeah, just helping out Walt Disney Japan, just doing fun things like that. That's so cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, we are incredibly excited to hear from you all today because recruiters play such an important role at Disney, right? You're some of the first Disney employees that someone interacts with on their application journey. And that relationship is so critical to the hiring process and overall company culture for both external candidates and current employees looking for the next step in their careers. So Yoshi, as you said, starting out on a Disney college program, since then you supported all kinds of areas within Disney experiences. So what do you feel like are some of the similarities you see across the recruitment process?
Yeah, so across the recruitment process in any of the teams I work, generally it's the same concept, right? So it's apply for a position, go through interviews, you might get a role. Where the differences really come in is the nature or the complexity of the interviews and the length of the interviews, right? So I think that's the slight differences, but the vast majority, conceptually, the similarities are just apply, interview. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And just kind of like piecing apart some of those unique things as you go from segments of business. Very cool.
Right.
Marjorie, from your experience recruiting for corporate roles at Disney, do you have a favorite candidate success story or moment where you were especially proud of the outcome?
Yeah. So there's actually one story that sticks out to me, and it recently happened. I was hiring for a manager employee relations role, and I had sourced a candidate through LinkedIn. In our initial conversation, we connected on a personal level, and she and I started talking about hobbies. And at one point, she joked, and she said she wouldn't leave her job unless Mickey Mouse came knocking on her door. And a couple weeks later, there she was, and I was there reaching out to her about, you know, extending an offer. And she was a passive candidate and she wasn't actively looking. But after that conversation, after she's interviewed with several team members and coming on site, she was so excited and accepted the offer on the same day. And it felt like the stars aligned. And I'm just so happy she's here now.
Yeah, that's so cool. Those little personal moments, and they stick with you, right? It feels good to be able to see some of those things. That's awesome.
For sure.
Savai, I mean, kind of tying to that, I heard prior to recording this episode, you were chatting about the relationship building aspect of recruitment and how much it means to you. So can you talk about how being a recruiter has helped just your personal and professional growth from that perspective?
Sure. I mean, I think recruitment has really helped me grow in both confidence and perspective. And professionally, it pushed me to move from just filling roles into being more consultative, asking better questions and partnering closer with the hiring teams and sometimes gently challenging things as well. And personally, I think it has helped me find my voice a lot more. I used to be quite focused on just delivering quietly, and now I'm much more comfortable taking up space in conversations and like really stepping in as an advisor. And also because it's such a people-focused role, it's also made me more adaptable, more empathetic, and probably, hopefully, a much better listener as well. So yeah, overall, it's been a lot of growth for me, sometimes uncomfortable, but in a really good way.
Yeah. And you said a couple of things in there that I feel like would speak to a lot of different people of having to have difficult conversations, right? And maybe gently challenging some things. Can you talk about that a little bit more and just what those moments are like and just how to approach them?
I mean, I can say any kind of like stakeholder management in our world. Sometimes you need to challenge really like senior stakeholders when it comes to like a candidate experience. So we have to deal with those kind of conversation. I think that's going to be my main example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, understood. Very cool. All right, switching gears a little bit. Let's dig a little deeper into, let's call it demystifying the hiring process for candidates. And we'll go with a question that all of you can answer. So what does a strong application look like for candidates applying to Disney roles? Who did I start with last time? I started with Marjorie. So we're going to start with Yoshi this time.
Okay. So I think a strong application looks like where the job application is represented in their resume or in their CV. You know, there are a lot of requirements, a lot of, you know, preferred qualifications that Disney likes to see. And we have just an amazing amount of, you know, roles and really unique roles. So it's very, when you generalize, you know, your experience to that, it doesn't share the exact story about you. And so for us as recruitment, we really want to know how it relates to what this role requires.
Absolutely. Savai, same question. Just what does a strong application look like for candidates applying to Disney roles?
I would definitely say clarity and relevance. Like a CV doesn't need to be overly complicated. It just needs to make it easy for someone, me, us, your friend, recruiters, to quickly understand who you are, what you have done, and why you are a good fit for that specific role, basically. And I really love to see a short profile summary section at the top can really help with all of those. And one of the most common challenges I see is when the experience is there, but it's a bit hidden. So you have to really dig through the CV to find those strengths. And there's a risk they won't fully come through if we need to dive deep.
Yes, yes. For those who are maybe not as familiar, so when you say at the top of the resume, the summary, give just a little bit of context for that.
I would say literally like your name, your contact details, a summary, experiences, and then all the other details like skills or like tools that you have used, even like education. But like on top, I need to see a summary relevant to the role.
Got it. Okay, perfect. Perfect. All right, Marjorie, what about you?
Yeah, I would say a strong application that starts with the basics. So have your updated contact information, make sure that you have your clear experience and relevant skills. And then if you have links on your resume, make sure that they're active and up to date. You want them to make sure that it links to your proper email or it links to your LinkedIn profile. Those are really key things because, or even if you have like maybe like a portfolio that you want to share. So make sure all of that is working because you want to be able to highlight like what Yoshi and Savai said, you know, your relevant skills, your experiences and everything that relates to the role that you're applying for.
Absolutely. Great advice already. I hope people are taking notes at home because I certainly am for myself. So I know Savai mentioned this, but also going to you, Yoshi and Marjorie, what are some common mistakes that you see in resume or even Savai, if you want to chime in with interviews as well? What are some of the things that you see?
I would say like during the interviews, I wouldn't say the biggest mistake, but my biggest advice would be like prepare some relevant examples and don't undersell yourself. I know that's easier said than done, especially if you are natural, quite humble, but this is like interviews. This is your moment to really own your impact and connect the dots. And this is where you shine.
Yeah. And, you know, to tag along, Savai already kind of said it, but the biggest mistake in an application, I'll kind of start there, that I've seen is candidates tend to go sometimes too high level. So it dilutes their actual experience, right? And with a company like Walt Disney Company, where there's very specific things sometimes that a lot of our areas are looking for, you don't want to dilute what you have done. And, you know, we're also not necessarily the subject matter expert of those fields, right? And so for us recruitment, we really need to be able to see what exactly you did so that we can really make it easy for us to translate what you've done so that we can see the relevant experience again. You know, making it too high level dilutes it. And Savai, and I think Marjorie mentioned it, you undersell yourself, essentially is what it comes down to.
Yeah, I totally agree. All right, I have a fun question for you guys. So I often chat with Disney programs participants here and professional interns who, when they do interviews, they get nervous specifically at the tell us about yourself question, just to start off. And it's always funny because it's like, but that's the thing that you probably know the best, right? You know you, but it makes people very, very nervous because it's so open-ended and they don't know necessarily how to navigate that. So what advice do you have for people who are approaching that initial question of just tell us about yourself?
I think for the tell us about yourself. It's an intimidating question. I even hate being asked that question as a recruiter. So I say, like, you know, write something out and then practice it in front of a mirror, practice it in front of your friends, your family, the people who will be honest with you and tell you, hey, you're being a little too wordy, or, you know, you could expand a little bit more here. And also don't be afraid to ask any of your network. Like, for example, if you have mentors or recruiters in your network, that could really give you also some tips on what you can expand on. I've been doing this for a long time, 8 years recruiting, and I'm still refining my 60-second pitch or whatever it is. And I think we can always be better. So don't be afraid to ask and get some advice.
Solid answer. That's awesome. All right. Does anybody else, before we move on, do you want to chime in on the tell us about yourself?
Yeah. So first, I agree with everything Marjorie says. Like, and also, like, that question, when I get asked, I'm like, man, all right. Let's see. But one thing I do in interviews when I'm asked that is also like throw it back, is ask them, is there anything specific you want to know about me? Right. You know, and it's very rare, but I do sometimes get, yeah, I'm kind of looking for your background, or, you know, you might get a bone on a little bit more on like what they're looking for. So like, that's a tip I know I've done in the past, but a lot of times they'll say, no, tell me about yourself. And so that's when, you know, Marjorie kind of said, be prepared about your 60-second about yourself. And so, you know, that is on hand ready, but they have something specific, you can always respond.
Yeah, yeah. We used to make a joke. There's a guy that we worked with named Peter, and he decided to do like 5 things about himself in 60 seconds, which was one of the pieces of advice that I gave him. But he named his specifically the 5 pillars of Peter. And I said, you got to get this like trademarked. You know what I mean? This is really good.
That.
Exactly. Exactly. So, hey, make your own version of the 5 pillars of Peter or the 5 joys of Josiah, you know, whatever your thing is. That's a good way to go.
It's a great idea.
Right. I think we can all jump into that one. So I'm going to give you guys some individual questions before we go into the next segment. And I'm going to start with Marjorie. How can candidates best prepare for behavioral or situational interview questions?
Yeah, that is a great question. So for behavioral questions or situational questions, I always like to say refer to the STAR method of interviewing. Actually, quick plug, Disney Careers also has the Candidate Resource Hub, which I've been directing all my candidates to help them prepare for their interviews. And they have the STAR method of interviewing there, which I think is super helpful because, one, STAR stands for Situation, Task, Action, and Result. It's a great framework for practicing those behavioral and situational interview questions. It helps you stay focused, answer the question clearly, and really avoid getting off track and or being too long-winded as well. And I also encourage candidates to think about like any notable wins that they have, where they've been able to influence, and what the real takeaway or the impact of their example was.
Okay, you may have seen me. I was literally typing that down. The STAR method, situational, task, action, and result, was it?
Yes, STAR. Okay. Yes.
Very cool. I'm keeping that one for myself. That's amazing. Awesome. Okay, Savai, what are hiring teams really looking to assess during interviews beyond technical skills?
It's really about the whole picture. So beyond technical skills, hiring teams want to understand how you think and how you work. So they are going to assess things like communication, collaboration, problem solving, adaptability, and how you build relationships. So especially in those kind of competence-based interviews, it's not just about what you have done. It's all about how you have done it. So how you navigate challenges, how you work with others, how you influence. So those are often the things that really make someone stand out.
Yeah, that's a good example of when people say to, especially in interviews, to brag on yourself in the best way possible, right? To give people that good context. That's awesome. All right, Yoshi, we've got one for you. What are some of the soft skills or mindsets that are most important for success at Disney?
So 2 come into mind. I'd say proactive mindset and the strong communication skills are definitely key. At Disney, there's an expectation to take ownership and think ahead, not just react. And Savai actually just kind of mentioned it, but communication really matters because we are a storytelling company and we are all considered storytellers. And being able to share the ideas clearly and connect your work to the bigger picture is what really sets people up for success here.
Absolutely. Yeah. And even just right now, the storytelling and the advice that you guys are giving, this is great stuff. So me, myself, I'm excited to go back and listen to a lot of this. Okay. We are introducing a new segment called Ask Disney Careers, where we answer real questions from our followers. We're going to do this rapid fire, so feel free to jump in if you have an answer. So the first one that we have is from Bob, who says, do you have any tips for breaking through AI and getting that interview?
I'll jump in. I say don't rely on AI to write your resume for you. You want it to use it to help refine your resume. Make sure that it's still in your voice and reflects your experience and authentic to you. You also want to tailor your resume to the job that you're applying for, and you want to highlight your experience that's relevant to the role. And I think that's been a common theme that we've all been saying. So you also want to focus on the outcomes and like the impact, not just your responsibilities, and be clear and concise and results driven, I think is really important too.
That's amazing. That's perfect. All right. So next up, Yoshi or Savai, you may have an answer for this one from Ren. Other than Disney Cruise Line, what opportunities are available for international programs or cultural representative program participants to continue on with the company?
So after completing these programs, many participants apply for roles across Disney more broadly, including professional roles in their home country or region. So for example, someone from the UK might complete a program in Walt Disney World and then come back and apply for roles in our London office. So Disney has corporate offices all over the world. So there are definitely opportunities across different business areas. And I would say it's really helpful to stay close to Disney careers because opportunities can vary depending on the program and location. But overall, it can be a strong stepping stone into a long-term Disney career.
Yeah, yeah. And I love that, to be able to also get to know some of the offices that are around the world as well. There's so much out there. It's great.
Yeah. And, you know, Savai kind of mentioned it. I think a common, since we're in the spirit of demystifying, if we don't have a park in that country, it doesn't mean we don't have a corporate office there. And in fact, we have more corporate offices than there are in countries where we have theme parks or cruise ships and et cetera. So definitely keep an eye out on Disney Careers.
Perfect. Good plug. All right. So this next one is from Kiki, and it speaks to the reality of the hiring process and handling rejection. So Kiki says, I've applied 4 times so far and haven't gotten the job. What should I do differently?
My number one piece of advice would be, in Dory's words, just keep swimming. Like, don't give up. If Disney's where you really want to be, keep going. And everyone's path is so different here at Disney. I like to say, like, don't compare your journey to someone else's. And your Disney story may not unfold exactly the way you thought or you first imagined it to be, but that doesn't mean it's still not leading you to the right opportunity. So take in the feedback from the interviews that you have been given. Keep learning, keep your connections, stay in touch with your recruiter or the hiring leaders that you've met with, or if you've networked with anyone else, and trust that the right role will come at the right time.
Great answer. Great answer. All right. Next up, Savannah wants to know, what does Disney look for in a resume? Number one. And number two, are shorter resumes better, or should I be more thorough?
I can kick us off. I think so. I know it's a two-part question. So the first and foremost, Disney looks at relevant experience of what you have to what the role is. As far as shorter resumes or a thorough resume, I would always lean on the side of don't sell yourself short. So go more thorough. It's the recruiter's job to review, right? And so don't feel bad that it's going to be long for the recruiter. Like, that's our job, right? To figure out and read about you. And with that being said, there is definitely formatting and little things that makes it easier for recruiters to decipher and read. So I would pay attention to that. And, you know, if you have enough content, so that's the other big component of this, right? Content about you and experiences about you, long. If you're just making it long because you think it looks cool, that's actually not going to work. Yeah. We'll read through the noise piece of it, right? But if you do have the relevant experience and you can definitely fill, you know, more pages on the CV and resume, go with that.
And I would say too, to go along with Yoshi, like there's no strict rule that shorter is always better or longer is better. It's really about how you clearly show your experience and the impact. And the most important thing is that your resume is easy to read, tailored to the role, and clearly highlights the relevant skills and results of like your impact. And if you can do that on one page, that's great. But if you need to do that in two pages to fully show your experience, that's completely fine too. Just make sure everything's included and is meaningful and aligned to the role that you're applying for.
That's a good one. Awesome.
Okay, this next question is from a guy named Josiah. I guess he hosts a podcast or something. I'm not exactly sure. But the question is, how do you guys feel about plain text resumes versus like visually creative resumes that have a little color or different fonts and pictures? You know, how do you feel about the difference between those two?
I think it's up to the role.
Yes.
Like for some like creative roles, some creative resumes are great. But for, let's say, a research analytics manager role, I don't want to see all those creativity on the CV. I like to see a nice summary, all the tools that I need to see and like relevant experiences. So you need to tailor also the style based on the job you're applying to.
Agreed.
Yeah. You know, I think in the end, they kind of mentioned it. Our job as recruiters is to decipher what's on that resume. So as long as like we can easily sort of figure out what you're trying to convey, I don't think there's necessarily like a preference per se or like what you have to do. You know, it's just making sure you have the information that we need to understand about you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Case by case basis, role by role. That makes sense. All right. And last question comes from Maida. What advice would you give to someone hoping to build a long-term career with Disney?
So I would say be intentional, stay curious and think long-term, because again, Disney is such a broad company and there are so many different paths you can take. So I think one of the best things you can do is build strong foundations, stay open to learning and be proactive about growth. And just as importantly, definitely bring your authentic self, because also Disney is such a human brand and the people who build long-term careers here are often the ones who combine strong performance with curiosity, collaboration, and genuine connection to what they do.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Anybody else with an
answer? I would say building relationships is another big thing here at Disney. It's such a relationship company. It's not just the team that you're working with, but there are so many other teams, segments that you are working across. And it's really great to understand how other teams work, how their team works with your team, and just kind of how it works in the bigger ecosystem. It helps you be better in your own job, but also understanding, you know, Disney as a whole.
Both of what they said is definitely spot on. I think the only other thing I can think of is being open to mobility. So we talked about being curious, but I think the other part of it is sometimes people get stuck with their craft, right? And, you know, Disney is such a massive company with diverse roles that, you know, sometimes it's not so obvious what you want to do or what you can do, and other people see that. So when you see those opportunities, kind of being open to those mobility, you know, sideways sometimes.
Yeah. You all are a wealth of knowledge. There's so much here. And I'm excited for people to really get into this. Now we have one last question, and this is one that I have been so excited to hear the answers to. So we're going to have a little fun. Imagine that you're recruiting for a job in the business areas that you support. Which character do you think would be an ideal candidate and why? And bonus points if you have a specific role in mind for them.
I have someone in mind. It would be Mulan for an HR business partner role. And the reason why I think she's ideal is because she drives change. She pushes leaders on decisions and all those different kinds of things. She can adapt quickly to her environments as well. And she can navigate those complex and evolving business needs. And I think she's deeply motivated by purpose, which translates well into like driving engagement and culture. So I think she'd be a great HR business partner.
That was one of those like mic drop answers. That was solid. Okay. I don't know how many points that's worth, but it's worth the points. Lots of points.
Thanks, that's Josiah. Awesome.
All right. Who's next?
I can go. This is my favorite question. It's such a fun one. And I think I would go with Hercules. And it's not because he starts off perfect. It's actually quite the opposite. But because he is coachable, resilient, and really grows into role over time. So I think I would recruit Hercules for maybe like a creative operations coordinator or something. I mean, in a lot of roles I recruit for, especially when we are hiring for like junior roles, mindset and willingness to learn can be even more important than having every skill from day one. So I would focus on the soft skills and I would definitely hire Hercules.
This is amazing. Okay, like you guys, you're making it seem like this is so easy. Like this is so
don't weird. Worry, it's because I haven't spoken yet.
All right, what you got?
Well, okay, I'm definitely going to probably fail on the specific role, but in my head, I think the first one that came into my mind was like Genie. You know, he has the comedy, he has the relatability. So like we kind of talked about relationship building, right? And, you know, he definitely will get that. He also has the magic, like he can kind of proactively figure out like, what do we need? And poof, it comes up, right? And he can make it work. That's the best you're probably going to get from me for this question.
That's a great okay. one, Yoshi. Yeah.
All right. So Savai and Marjorie, let's see if we can, and based on what, you know, we just said with Genie, what role do we think kind of like ties in a lot of those different things?
Well, and here's the reason why I picked Genie. It's kind of a cheat because he probably could do any other roles because he has, you know, like I didn't go like too specific because I'm like, man, I don't even know. Right. So,
yeah.
Well, since Genie is such a magic maker, I would have to put him in HR, and I'm a little biased there because I recruit HR for HR, but he's making magic for everyone. So he's got to be in people and culture for sure.
I like
maybe
that.
He can be a recruiter because he's making magic.
I mean, he could be hired for any of my roles in theory. So, you
know, that's good.
I would ask Genie what he would want to do, and then I would just give it to him.
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah. Yeah. I could also see Genie as like a communications manager, like someone who has to speak and represent like a specific segment of business or team. I feel like the energy, all right, hey, you might need to tone it down a little bit sometimes, but
yeah,
but he can get it done. He can get it done. This has been an amazing conversation and capped off with like the best question to answer as possible. I hope our listeners feel like they can take away some of these insights and feel inspired for their next application, interview, resume, networking opportunity, whatever it may be. So thank you to Marjorie, Savai, and Yoshi for joining us today. We really appreciate you guys.
Thanks for having
thank
us.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
This was fun.
Way fun.
Thanks so much for listening, and be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts to catch our next episode. If you'd like to learn more about working at Disney, follow Disney Careers on social media or visit DisneyCareers.com. The Life at Disney podcast is produced by Jaren Kaufman and Sarah Monier, editing by Brandon Colon, social promotions by Tony Keyes and Ellery Rosengarten, design and graphics by Delaney Regnier and Elisa Nikishin. Music arranged and produced by Nat Young Music Group Incorporated. And as always, a special thank you to the teams at the Walt Disney Company Talent Connection.